with the 20th pick in the NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select.
You're listening to the Journey to the Draft podcast, presented by AAA.
Every athlete has a journey. Focus on the game. Let us worry about getting you there. Auto repair, road sign assistance, and auto insurance. Start your journey at AAA.com. Well, Fran, as sad as it is to say, we are past the halfway point here at the Reese's Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. This is the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA. I'm Bo Wolf alongside Fran Duffy. And Fran, 2 days of practice now in the books, one more day of padded practice coming up on Thursday, but we have seen more than we're going to see the rest of the week now. I think we can start to say that we're making our final impressions of the week at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, I would say so. And guys, definitely you could see carried some of the success they had in day one over to day two and took their game to the next level. We saw some guys bounce back a little bit. It was really another good day of practice. Great weather. I think in the 4 years that I've been here, I don't think we've ever had better weather. Hopefully it holds up the rest of the week.
Yeah, certainly lots of lanyard tans about for the rest of the week here at the Senior Bowl. As Ray Doyle, our wonderfully muscled up and talented shooter over there, is sporting one himself. But on to the action on the field, Fran. We will get to plenty of stuff here coming up. We're going to hear from a couple players. We're going to get Tony Pauline's thoughts on the winners of the day. We're going to go through our pick six, our games later. Hear some draft mailbag stuff. But any other general thoughts from the day at practice today?
Yeah, you know, there were a couple guys that surprised me. The one guy who I wasn't really crazy about coming into the week and has really shown the versatility to be able to play on the outside as a corner and hold up in man coverage, that's Arizona State safety Demarius Randall. He showed up really, really well today in one-on-one drills, I thought. I didn't really think highly of Randall coming into the week. And he's done pretty well, so maybe I'll have to go back and watch some more. So there are some guys at a couple other positions as well, but Randall's the first guy that comes to mind when I think of guys that have surprised.
We talked a little bit about him with Tony yesterday, but Ali Marpet, the small school offensive lineman from Hobart, has been impressing me as well, the fact that he's able to hold up to this increased level of competition. The Marpet does match the drapes, as they say.
Yes, it does. And you would, a guy that's coming from that D3 level, if he's going to be outmatched, you would see that early on, and he held his own from the get-go. So,
all right,
good for Marpet.
Well, I'm sorry to jump at you
there,
all right. But everybody wants to get to the draft buzz, Fran.
I do too.
Let's get to it.
Now it's time for draft buzz.
All right, Fran. Well, again, the real news here coming from the Senior Bowl where we are. So let's go through Twitter and pick out a few things that that jumped out at us from other people's observations, and one of them comes from the one addition we had to the Senior Bowl roster today, Southeast Louisiana quarterback Brian Bennett, and he was a story for Eagles reporters, of course, because Bennett originally recruited to Oregon alongside Chip Kelly, lost out to Marcus Mariota for the starting quarterback job, and then ended up transferring to Southeast Louisiana. But Todd McShay of ESPN said the ball is jumping off the hands of Brian Bennett. I did think that he had a pretty good level of arm strength, not necessarily NFL caliber, but certainly better than the three quarterbacks we've seen on the North team, Bryce Petty, Shane Carden, and Sean Mannion. Not quite as strong as Garrett Grayson, and probably on par, I guess, with Blake Sims. But what do you make of Grayson as a prospect?
Well, I think his arm's definitely better than Blake Sims, and definitely more.
Not Grayson, obviously. Ben.
Yeah, definitely stronger. Yeah, sorry. I think he's definitely stronger than the guys on the North roster, as you pointed out. Look, Bennett's a talented kid. He's, you know, he's 6'2", 205 pounds. He's a mobile guy, can get out in the perimeter and make some plays. I think he's still got a ways to go in terms of accuracy and poise in the pocket. And it'll be a big week for him, ability to come out and show on a high level of competition. Overall, I think he's got some work to do. That there's a reason why he wasn't an initial invite to the game, but it'll be interesting to see how he pans out this week.
We've talked, about the relative lack of strength of the quarterback class this year, beyond obviously the top two guys. Is he a draftable prospect for you in this class?
If he can come out this week and show that he can handle it, then maybe he is.
Compare him to a guy like who do we see at the Shrine Game last week? Tyler Heinicke from Old Dominion.
Stronger arm, more athletic. The distinction comes is that Bennett played in a spread offense both at Oregon and then at Southeast Louisiana State, whereas Heineke played in a system that had a little bit more in terms of pro-style pass concepts. And that's what you're looking at here. You look at a guy like Sean Mannion, who doesn't have the strongest arm, isn't a very good athlete. Accuracy sometimes up and down, but he played in a pro style system, was able to make anticipation throws and able to see and read route concepts that you're going to see at the NFL level that's employed by, you know, most NFL teams. So he's going to be more of a fit with more teams and therefore more likely to be liked by more teams. So that's what it comes down to. And, you know, you say it only takes one. If one team sees Brian Bennett, likes his tools, likes his athleticism and his arm strength, they may take a flyer. I think this could be a draft class, you know, in terms of the quarterbacks, where some of these guys that people don't know. I know that there's a kid out in Colorado State, Pueblo, that Tony Pauline really likes. This kid, Chris Bonner, who's 6'7", 225 pounds, played in the Medal of Honor Bowl a few weeks ago. He's got a big, strong arm. He could come out of nowhere and be drafted.
Sounds like a Dustin Vaughn type.
Right. Yeah, well, maybe. I haven't watched Chris Bonner yet, so I can't really say. But, you know, whether it's a guy like that, a guy like Justin Worley, who injured his shoulder late in the season and was a starter for Tennessee, who's got a strong arm. Brandon Bridge, who was at the NFLPA game, played here in Mobile at South Alabama. Some of these toolsy prospects that, you know, maybe a team will feel like they can take a chance on this guy. Whereas in other drafts, you know, you may not have seen that.
What is, according to your spreadsheet, how you've got it handled? You've got the average amount of players at each position drafted over the last 3 years. What is it at quarterback?
It's 13. So over the past 5 years, there have been 13 quarterbacks drafted.
On average.
So, you know, how that shakes out this year.
Could it be something like 8 this year?
It could be. I mean, look, you, there was 14 last year, 11 in 2013, 11 in 2012, 12 in 2011. Well, it hasn't come close. It was at 10 in 2007, and that was the lowest since 2005. So,
guys,
could it be single
digits?
You
know, it's like the Ron Wolf. You got to get draft a guy every year. But.
Right. I mean, could there be single digits? I don't know. I mean, you could probably count on one hand the amount of quarterbacks that you personally would say, I feel really, yeah, this guy's going to get drafted.
Yeah.
So after that, it's kind of a grab bag group.
All right. Well, we're staying quarterback focused here in the draft buzz. Dane Brugler of CBS Sports talking about Bryce Petty, Baylor's Bryce Petty, saying his accuracy and timing were a little bit off today.
Yeah, and his accuracy watching him at Baylor was up and down. I mean, you know, everyone talks about his numbers and the production and that great offense, which obviously, you know, under Art Briles, it is a great offensive system. But his accuracy and ball placement was very, very up and down. I don't want to say it held that offense back. Obviously, they were still able to produce at a very high level. But, you know, you watch him on tape as a junior and as a senior, and you saw those accuracy issues. There's definitely some timing that's got to get worked out before Saturday's game with Petty and those other receivers.
Well, and listen, you know, timing and accuracy
yes.
are two things that are going to be extremely difficult to do this week when you're thrown in with a brand new bunch of receivers and tight ends who you've never worked with before. You don't know exactly how they run their routes, how quickly they come out of stuff.
To be fair, though, that's the case at every All-Star game with every quarterback.
Well, that's the thing. You know, you're not judging necessarily just timing and accuracy. You're judging it sort of on a curve against other guys. And, you know, he wasn't great today, but he's got the strongest arm of the three quarterbacks on the North team, I would say. He's got, an NFL body. He's big enough. I saw him make a couple nice throws, but none of those guys have really been able to connect on anything down the field. Everything's floating on their deep balls.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it enough. It's definitely not the best group of Senior Bowl quarterbacks.
All right, back to the quarterbacks again. NFL.com tweeting that Brett Hundley, the UCLA junior quarterback, redshirt junior, who was invited to the Senior Bowl, declined an invite. One NFC scout said that Brett Hundley scares me. According to NFL.com, what do you make of Brett Hundley? I know you he scares you a little bit as well.
Yeah, I mean, well, here's the thing with Hundley:
scary looking or just that's
not
a
scary looking. I mean, you know, he's a nice enough guy. Seems nice, but
favorite player growing up was Donovan McNabb.
Yeah, there you go. So, look, Hundley, big kid, athletic, very strong arm, has those tools that you look for. If you're building a quarterback, but the problem is that he doesn't always see the field really, really well. He takes a lot of sacks. Decision making has been an issue in the past. So from the mental aspect of the game, reading route concepts is another one of those offenses that, it's, you know, a lot of screens and very, you know, they kind of set things apart and make it so that it's, easy throws for the quarterback. And it's an issue. He talked earlier in the year about how he was pressing to impress NFL scouts, and that may have affected his ability to execute the offense. And that's that's a scary proposition. But you saw a couple years ago, look, E.J. Manuel, no one thought that E.J. Manuel was going to be a first-round pick in a class where, you know, people kind of were down on that quarterback group overall.
I mean,
but because he's big,
I thought that was insane that he was a first-round pick.
But he was big, he had a strong arm, and he was athletic, and he ended up in the first round. So I'm not going to say that Hundley should be, but he could be.
All right, next on the Draft Buzz, Daniel Jeremiah, former Eagles scout, former Ravens scout, of course, draft analyst, expert for NFL.com, tweeting that Miami tight end Clive Walford is making a lot of money today. And I agree, Clive Walford looked outstanding today. He was unguardable in those wide receiver or running back tight end versus linebacker safety drills. He was awesome.
Yeah, he's the best tight end here. I mean, he's 10.5-inch hands, 34-inch long arms, 81.5-inch wingspan, and those are all, if you looked at the group last year of tight ends, they would have ranked in the top five in all three categories. So he's definitely got the frame you want. He's athletic. He's a good hands catcher. He showed his ability to run routes. He's a good blocker. I thought he did a really good job yesterday on Tuesday in blocking drills and when we were at Fairhope. He did a really, really good job in every drill that I've seen him in. He's definitely the best tight end here today.
And this tight end class, sort of like the quarterbacks, getting thrown some shade, I guess, saying that it's not a great class. But I think you think that it's underrated.
I think it's a little underrated. I mean, you know, it's not a great group, and we saw some guys that kind of dropped out. You know, Jeff Herman from Ohio State, I think, has the ability to be a complete tight end. He dropped out because of injury.
I don't mean the Senior Bowl class. I mean the class in general.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you had a guy like Herman that dropped out. Nick O'Leary, who's one of those do-it-all kind of guys, even though he's on the smaller side, is a flexible player that can get could fit into an NFL offense. There's some underclassmen, Max Williams, Tyler Croft, who declared, Jesse James, this kid, Gene Siffrin from UMass, that a lot of people, I haven't watched him yet, but apparently he's one of those athletic move guys that will be very interesting for a lot of teams picking in the mid-rounds. So I think overall it's a pretty interesting tight end group.
All right, last part of the Draft Buzz here, Fran. We mentioned Brian Bennett, of course. A couple more guys will be added tomorrow. The linebacker Plummer, what can you tell me about him?
I've got nothing. I haven't watched Plummer yet. You know, the focus after the season was try and get through as many of the East-West Shrine Game guys and confirmed Senior Bowl guys as possible so that we knew what we were talking about, you know, to a point when we got down here. Plummer was not on the list, so I didn't watch Plummer. So none of the guys that have come down. Luckily, I have watched Brian Bennett, so I had some kind of background in him. But Plummer, I've got nothing for you.
And I've got nothing for you on the Mississippi State offensive lineman being added, except that he doesn't belong here. Darian Miller is the man who should be here. I'm going to pound the table for Darian Miller.
He did
or
pound
BJ
the table.
Finney. Give me one of them. Come on.
It's poor table.
Ridiculous. SEC bias. Even though those guys, one of them is in the SEC, but still, I'm offended.
I could tell.
My eyes are offended. All right. Well, from there, let's move on to a man whose eyes we trust a little bit, I guess. Tony Pauline of DraftInsider.net, the man they call One Trick Pony Tony. Tony is going to break down in Mr. Relevant, who stood out in day two.
Time to go out on a high note. It's time for Mr. Relevant.
Well, we are here with Tony Pauline of DraftInsider.net. Bo Wolf here on the scene at the Reese's Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. And Tony, the second day of practice now in the books. And let's start by talking about one of the higher rated players here, Danny Shelton, the big defensive tackle from Washington. He's been up and down a little bit this week. Tell me your thoughts.
Yeah, up and down is the best way to put it. I mean, he's big, 343 pounds. He seemed very happy to come in at 343 pounds. You know, he's got great power. He's got great explosion. He plays with a nasty attitude. He goes through the whistle. The problem is he's more of a one-trick pony. He puts his head down and he just rushes ahead, straight ahead, and tries to bull rush over opponents. Doesn't use his hands well, and the scouts and the coaches have gotten a hon to him for that. And some of the offensive linemen, Ali Marpet of Hobart, Division III school, who just, you know, played with good technique, was able to stop him in his tracks. So I don't think he's the definite mid-first-round pick as many have perceived or predicted he's going to be.
Well, and listen, of course, you don't really judge a player necessarily on just a few of their snaps here at the Senior Bowl. It's really about the tape. But you do want to see how they rise to the level of competition. But how do you measure, how do you balance what you've seen here and what you see on tape?
Well, I think he's risen to the level of competition. I just don't think he's technically sound. And I think he needs a lot of work. And what's going to happen is teams are going to look at the tape from the Senior Bowl, see he doesn't use his hands well, see that he's basically a guy who just rushes straight up the field, and say, this guy may take a little longer than we first thought before he's ready to play on an NFL field. and as a result, his stock could slide a little bit.
All right. Well, yesterday you said a pair of potentially first-round offensive linemen had down days in your eyes, T.J. Clemmings from Pitt and Lyle Collins from LSU, both of them about 6'4", 305, 308. You thought they rebounded a little bit today.
Both of them. Clemmings is still a little bit stiff, which I was surprised by. He struggles to pick up the blitzers or even block the quick, swift, the speed rushers. But he did a better job today than yesterday. Collins, I thought, was also better. He wasn't getting beat to the inside like he was. But that said, I mean, a lot of people had said that Clemmings was a mid-first-round choice. They thought that Collins was a top 12 pick. I just don't see it with these guys. I think maybe late first round, but I don't think that they have elevated the play or have played to the level of top half of round one prospects.
All right, well, let's talk about some of the day two risers in your eyes. One of them, a linebacker. Eagles fans thinking maybe the team will address the inside linebacker position through the draft. It could be Stephon Anthony from Clemson, 6'2", 245.
And that would be a good pick for them in the middle rounds. I mean, he's a complete linebacker. He's a three-down guy. He showed well in coverage here. He's also good in pursuit, was quick getting outside the numbers to the flanks and run coverage. Very tough. Is not afraid to really mix it up. A guy who I think has elevated himself. Was underrated coming into the week the way maybe Clemmings and Collins were overrated. I think Stephon Anthony was a bit underrated. Has really, really helped himself, I think, the past 2 days.
Auburn defensive lineman Gabe Wright weighed in at 6'3", 299 on Monday, or on Tuesday, rather. On Wednesday, he showed up big time.
Explosive. I mean, no one could stop him. Fires off the snap, beats opponents with that first step, is able to move left and right, not just a straight line guy. You know, unlike, say, Danny Shelton, the guy who uses his hands, runs over opponents, or gets around them with a variety of moves, and that's the sort of versatility. He doesn't have Danny Shelton's size, probably doesn't have the ability to control the line of scrimmage as Shelton does, but he's a playmaker. He's a penetrator. He's a guy who gets behind the line of scrimmage. I think that's really helped Gabe Wright.
Finally, the assumption with small school guys, especially skill guys on the outside, wide receivers, is maybe that they're raw. They're going to need some polish. That is not the case with Justin Hardy from East Carolina. He is one of the more polished receivers here.
Yeah, I wouldn't really consider him a small school guy, but you know what? He doesn't have the great measurables, which is just barely 5'10", I believe 190 pounds at weigh-ins. He's not a fast guy. He is just a terrific receiver. Runs good routes, comes back to the ball, extends his hands, and makes the reception away from his frame. Great focus, great concentration, has made all the receptions, you know, when battling defenders, has won out more times than not. Really, hands of glue. And I think what's going to happen with Justin Hardy, somebody's going to say, listen, we're going to push aside the fact that he's not real big, he's not real fast. We're going to take him in that third or fourth round area because he can be a very good, productive third receiver at the next level, either on the flanks or in the slot.
Lastly, Tony, one player you want to see a little bit more from this week, Deion Barnes, the pass rusher from Penn State.
Yeah, and as I said during the preview on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, a lot of people felt he made a mistake entering the draft, and I think it's been proven thus far. You know, he comes out of a three-point stance. If a blocker gets his hands on him, the game's over. Today he did some drills at linebacker, kind of looked lost, was not fluid, was not effective in space. I just don't know where Deion Barnes fits in. Is he a designated pass rusher? Is he a guy you're going to use at 3-4 outside linebacker? It's going to take some time before he's ready, and a guy like that's going to slip late into the draft.
All right, well, we'll see if the Philadelphia product can turn it on the rest of the week here at the Senior Bowl. For Tony Pauline of DraftInsider.net, I'm Bo Wolf for PhiladelphiaEagles.com. All right, good stuff there, as always, from our good friend TP. And now it's time to set up another unofficial visit as we bring in one of the more interesting players here, especially from an Eagles fan perspective, and that would be Utah defensive back Eric Rowe, who spent the first 2.5 years of his career at Utah at safety, moved to cornerback this season. He is over 6 feet, so he's got that length that you like from an Eagles perspective. But here this week, he's been working at both cornerback and safety. He says safety the first couple days. He's hoping to move to corner on Thursday, but we had a chance to catch up with Eric Rowe in our unofficial visit.
The unofficial visit.
Well, we're here with Utah defensive back Eric Rowe, and I guess the question for you, Eric, is cornerback or safety? What's it going to be?
I prefer cornerback. But that's just my personal opinion. But, you know, wherever the coach needs me, you know, just like every guy, you know, I'll play it.
What are the differences for you? Obviously, you know, where you line up and stuff. But in terms of skill set, you feel like you can do both?
Yeah, especially I have a whole, you know, college team on my belt, especially in the Pac-12 where they spread out and pass. There's a lot of great receivers in the Pac-12. Some of them are here today. And so, you know, guarding them, you know, I feel like I have that under my belt. And then obviously 3 years at safety, you know, I can roam the field or just play man. So it's, you know, just like whatever.
What was the transition like for you this season going from safety to cornerback?
It was tough just from being, seeing the whole whole offense from, you know, the center of the field to just cutting it down to half. And then really corner just focusing on we play a lot of man, so I'm just focused on my man and my technique rather than at safety focus on the checks and calls I have to make. So, I mean, it was a big difference mentally.
I think you're getting a little more time at safety here so far this week, but as you talk to teams, what do they tell you about how they see you?
I think they just asked me what would I prefer, and I would say corner, and they would nod their head, like, I guess that's what they prefer too. I think I should be playing some corner tomorrow, but, you know, right now they have me at safety, so I'm just trying to ball out at safety.
Obviously, one of the intriguing things about you on the outside is your size. How do you think that helps you as a cornerback?
Especially with the receivers nowadays, so being really tall and long, and, I mean, that combination with speed, I feel like I can match up physically. And then with my physical play, I love to play aggressive. I feel like I can bring that to the corner position.
As a cornerback, what would you say is the scouting report on you? What would you tell fans who have never seen you before? What do you do well? What do you need to work on?
For fans who never seen me, very physical. I can come on and run support. I love to hit, especially the big hits. I look for those. Many things I need to do well, just really just focus on my eyes, catching the ball with my eyes, because I tend to look away when I'm about to catch it. And maybe play like a little off coverage.
Okay. As you dream at night about making a big play, is it a pick six or is it laying a big hit?
It's a pick six. It's a pick six. You know, snatching the ball out the air and just running down the sideline. Just having to see the crowd just go wild for the home game.
Is there a corner or safety in the league who you'll sort of look up to as a player you hope to emulate?
Cam Chancellor. I like the way he hits. Really aggressive and has a lot of emotion. So I look up to him.
All right, last question we'd like to ask everybody. Who's the best player you played this season?
Nelson Aguilar from USC. Very quick, very explosive. Probably the quickest I've seen.
All right, well, Eric, best of luck, and maybe we'll see you in Philadelphia one day.
All right,
thanks. Thanks, man.
Now it's time for Pick Six.
All right, Francis, today's Pick Six, and we're going to go in a little bit of a different direction here today. Instead of guys who we think the Eagles will draft or who's impressed us, we're going to go with six highly thought of prospects here at the Senior Bowl, day one, day two picks potentially, who we would be surprised if they landed on the Eagles. Not that they're bad players, but that they may not be scheme fits or something else along those lines.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting thing. And look, there's obviously, I think 110 players here. So obviously not all these guys are going to be in the Eagles. And some of these guys are going to end up on the Giants or the Cowboys or the Redskins. They're going to end up on rival teams. So,
and we're not going with long snappers here or anything like that.
But we're trying to go with highly rated
guys. And this is a good one to save in the folder for all you people to replay back to us after May when the Eagles add two or three of these guys.
Right. Exactly. They could prove us wrong.
Okay.
All right.
You want to start?
The first guy I wanted to bring up was Washington nose tackle Danny Shelton. Obviously,
I've got Shelton as well.
There we go.
We did these independently.
We try not to look at each other's list, but Danny Shelton from Washington, just under 6'2", 343 pounds. Look, he's had an up and down week. I don't think that's the reason why he potentially wouldn't be an Eagle. We've talked in the past about how we don't think defensive line will be a huge area of need going into the draft. And also, I don't know that Shelton's arm length. He's under 32 inches with his arm. So I would think that would possibly take him out of the running as a defensive lineman picked in the first day or, second day of the draft. So I think that would be why Shelton probably wouldn't be an Eagle.
Yeah, not too much to add from my perspective. I will say that, you know how much I pound the table for best player available, but I would be surprised if Danny Shelton's atop the board at number 20 when the Eagles are on the clock, and I don't think I would be surprised if they picked a defensive lineman in the first round. As important as it is to stick to the board, you stack the board a little bit. So, and then I don't think he'll be available in the second round. That would be my guess.
Yep, I would agree there. So, all right, number two, I went with his teammate. I went with Kikaha.
Oh, me too.
Oh, wow. We're two for two.
I hope we don't go full six overlap.
That would be interesting. But Kikaha, look, he's 6'2", 246 pounds, high motor guy, great with his hands, does all the little things well from that perspective. But again, the short arms. He's under 32-inch long arms, 31.5 inches. I would think that the long levers equal strong levers. If Kikaha is going to be a second-round pick, I don't know that he'll be valued that way by the Eagles and some other teams that value arm length.
I would agree. I would also add that, the Eagles are maybe looking to take away some of the projection on outside linebackers. Kikaha hasn't really played in space before. He's got a couple pair of big knee injuries that I think are going to be a little bit of red flags. So
he's doing it this week, though, and that's a credit to him. He's practiced with the linebackers almost exclusively this week.
But he doesn't look very smooth.
No, he does not.
The game, so.
But,
yes. I'm going to go in and hope that that's it for the overlap here. I'm going to go with a pair of cornerbacks, so I'm going my 3-4 here. Now, there are 8 players of the 110 players here at the Senior Bowl who, when they weighed in, had arm lengths under 30 inches.
Okay.
Okay.
I know 2 of them, I think.
You know 2 of them.
All right.
8 of them. One of them was a fullback. Not a surprise. One of them was a running back, Amir Abdullah. Not a surprise. One of them was a kicker. One of them was a wide receiver. That's, I think, Tyler Luckett. But 4 of them were corners. And 2 of them, I think, are highly rated.
I know
2
of the 4 corners.
And
okay.
I don't think that... the Eagles will be going after those guys. Right, one of them is Kevin White from TCU.
From TCU, yes. Who's been pretty good this week.
Who has been very good this week. And I know Josh Norris is a big fan of Kevin White's.
Yep.
He's a little small. And the other is Quentin Rollins, who we've talked about. The other two are Golson and Diggs, Quandre Diggs and Golson. But as for White and Rollins, and listen, we were really excited to see Rollins play this week. I don't think he's looked bad. I think he's looked pretty good. And obviously, when you talk about him, you talk about only being the second year or first year really playing football at that kind of level. But he was 5'11", 193. He's got the 29 3/8 arms. I would be surprised, especially because he's good enough that he's probably going to get picked in the second day of the
and
draft.
And that's the thing.
And I don't think the Eagles are going to take a guy on the second day of the draft with that kind of...
dimensions.
Not red flag, but right. That kind of dimensions. Kevin White, even shorter, 5'9", and 3/8", 180. I would be surprised if the Eagles go that direction.
That's an interesting pick. I went with another corner as well. I went with Ole Miss cornerback Senquez Golson.
Another midget.
He's on the smaller end. He's one of those guys who came in under 30-inch long arms, but was very, very productive this year in the SEC, was a big part of that Ole Miss defense. His size, I mean, he's under 5'9", he's 5'8½", 178 pounds. Possibly if the Eagles were looking to add another inside corner, another slot guy late in the draft, then maybe, but he would be a guy that I would say probably won't end up in Philly.
I would not mind adding him to the Eagles softball team, however.
Ah, there you go.
All right, number 5 for me is a player who I know you don't believe will be in the conversation to be a second-round pick or second-day pick even, but he was a big name coming into the week. We already talked about him at the top of the show. Bryce Petty, the quarterback from Baylor. I just don't see it happening here. I don't think there's too much else to say.
Yeah, I would say that, and I'm glad that you brought up guy that people are very high on, and I don't necessarily see it that way. Another one of those guys that fits that bill is another Ole Miss player, and that's safety Cody Pruitt. Some thought that, you know, that he could be a second or third round pick in a safety class that some are kind of on, and you know, Pruitt, 6'2", just over 6'2", 212 pounds. Athletically, I don't know that he's got exactly what a lot of these teams that like the Eagles who want versatility from their safeties. I don't know if he's got that lateral ability.
All right, my last one, friend. This might break your heart because you are a big fan of this player, but I for a few reasons I just don't see it happening, and that's Ty Sambrello from Colorado State.
Oh no.
The big offensive tackle. And here's my reasoning.
Okay.
He's a very good player. So I don't think he will be available by the Eagles' second round pick.
Okay.
And I don't think they would spend the 20th overall pick on a player of that body type who is probably a better fit for a Juan Castillo type blocking system, more of a power guy. I don't see the athleticism with him as much.
All right.
Perhaps as you do. And I know we played Would You Rather yesterday and you were signing up for Ty Sambrello at 20.
I think he's got the athleticism. So that's interesting.
All right. Well, then maybe this is the one that comes back to bite me, but I would be surprised.
All right, that's an interesting one. Well, I've got 2 guys here to close out my 6 guys. The one I think that this kid is, he might be one of the 2 or 3 most impressive players here, and that's Iowa defensive tackle Carl Davis.
I thought about him.
I mean, 6'4½", 321 pounds. In terms, if you look back at last year, okay, and you looked at the dimensions from the defensive line group, he's got 11-inch hands. That would have been in the top 5 last year. He's got 34.5-inch arms, also would have been in the top 5 last year. And he's got an 84.5-inch wingspan, also would have been in the top 5 last year.
There you go.
So he's got the frame. When I watch him, reminded me.
You're talking me into him.
Yeah, the guy that he reminded me of was Michael Brockers out of LSU a couple years ago. Was a first-round pick, has played at a high level for LSU, or for the St. Louis Rams. Carl Davis has been very, very good this week. I just don't know that he's going to be either. I don't know that the Eagles are going to spend the 20th overall pick on a defensive lineman. So I think that Carl Davis, if he's not a first round pick, he's going to go very high in the second round. And I just don't think that that value is what the Eagles are going to be looking for that defensive line group. The last guy
for the same reasons.
Yeah, and the last guy we talked about him earlier in the show, Clive Walford. I already talked about him, the performances that he's had this week. I just don't think that, you know, as one of the best tight ends, I don't know that the Eagles necessarily will be in the market for one of the best tight ends in the draft.
That's fair. That's a good point. And we talked a little bit earlier this week about if they go for a tight end, they may be looking for more of an all-around tight end as opposed to a move guy like Walford. But you think you can hold up.
I think he can hold up. I think he's shown the ability to be.
But sure, if he's going
blocker
in the third round, it'd be a surprise,
sure,
to see the Eagles take a tight end in
correct
the third
round. Exactly.
All right. Well, speaking of players who we would be surprised to see the Eagles take, we're going to bring in an unofficial visit now with cornerback DeJon Smith from Florida Atlantic. A good player, but he is undersized. He doesn't have the length that you might be thinking of from the Eagles, but he was a very good interview, so we want to bring that to you now as he goes through a week of proving himself out of Florida Atlantic, DJ DeJon Smith.
The unofficial visit.
All right, we're here with cornerback DeJon Smith. And DeJon, tell us what it's like for you this week coming up and playing against, a higher level of competition for you.
It's a great experience being amongst a whole bunch of guys that you probably see in the NFL combine with you, seeing the NFL with you, build a relationship, get coached by the NFL, and have a whole bunch of NFL people watching you. I think it's a great atmosphere to show that you can play amongst the big dogs, the top five conference. I think it's like a real great opportunity. I just thank the man above for just blessing me with the opportunity, because a lot of people could have been in the Senior Bowl, but they gave me an opportunity to showcase what I could do.
And how do you feel like you've proved yourself so far?
I feel like I'm doing what the coaches asked of me to the best of my abilities, and just making plays, doing what I playing the game I love to play, and doing what I love to do. You know, just having fun and competing. I'm a dominant competitor. I hype myself up. I don't need nobody to tell me, he's the best. Nah, I'm just going to play. I compete against myself and try to make myself the best person I could possibly make.
So for fans who may not have seen you play before, what's the scouting report on you? Tell us what you do well and what are the things you need to work on.
What I do well, I play the best wide receiver on anybody team, in the nickel or on the outside. I'm going to make plays. I'm just going to have fun. I'm going to represent the program very well. And I'm a ball hawk. I'm a ball hawk. When that ball in there, I turn into a wide receiver. I don't do a whole lot of talking. I try to remain humble. But if I play for your team, you will be happy, man.
All right, that's good to know. Are there any corners in the league who you sort of look up to as having a similar game to?
Darrell Revis, that's the best cornerback in the NFL right now. And when it comes to off man, I'll probably have to say Brent Grimes. Very, very, very explosive. Oh, man, I see him in person. Like, he's very explosive for the off man coverage. But Darrell Revis is my favorite cornerback probably of all time, because I ain't really get a chance to watch Deion Sanders. I mean, Deion Sanders is the greatest, right. But who I watch, it would probably be Darrell Revis, Champ Bailey.
Okay.
So I watch those guys.
And so do you prefer being in press or being an off man?
Depends on the down and distance. In the down and distance, certain people like to do certain things. Sometimes off might be a better decision to make, so you can jump the slants or play faster. Sometimes press so you can prevent the fade route and get your hands on him, be physical, and stop the man from going up the field.
As a corner, is there a route that you like to defend more than others?
Oh yeah, the bomb in the post, because you know that's the moment of truth. That's what they call it. If you can stop that, give your team another opportunity to go, give your team another opportunity to live or make a play on the interception. That's all it takes right there. Because a lot of NFL teams, when I watch, they can't just keep nickel and dime. Only a few quarterbacks can just nickel down, where it's probably Peyton Manning or, you know, Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. They can nickel and dime, but most, they really want to take that shot. And when they take that shot, you can make them pay for taking that shot. Hey, man, that's a great job.
All right, well, DeJon Smith, best of luck. Maybe we'll see you in Philadelphia one day.
Hey, maybe we will. All right.
On the clock.
All right, friend. Well, yesterday's On the Clock, Would You Rather, was such a hit that we decided to bring it back again.
It was a hit.
For another day. So I'm going to give you some Would You Rathers. Are you ready?
I'm ready. And play along, please, at home.
Would you rather the Eagles draft Lyle Collins and Za'Darius Smith.
Lyle Collins and Za'Darius Smith. Okay, this is a good group. I like those two.
Or your boy, Owa Odighizuwa.
Oh, no.
And Donovan Smith,
oh.
The offensive lineman from Penn State.
Tony, I know which way Tony's going. Oh, man, that's a good group. Well, we haven't thrown the rounds in there.
No, but you know.
So I would think that Lyle Collins would take the first round pick. I would think that you would have, if you're going to take Lyle Collins, you're going to have to take him at 20th overall. And Za'Darius Smith, you're talking, you know, fourth, fifth round range, potentially.
Third day.
Odighizuwa will be interesting. I think the world of him as a player. I think he's very, very good. The medical will be a big thing with him, obviously, with the surgeries on his hip. Oh, man. You're asking me about my favorite player in the draft. I'm going to go with Odighizuwa just because I like Odighizuwa.
Odighizuwa and Donovan Smith, huh?
Yeah. I think, you know, Donovan Smith, look, he's not a great athlete, so I don't know that he's the best fit in the Eagles system. But I thought he had a pretty good week this week. And did a good job, especially in the drills where he's one-on-one at the point of attack with defensive linemen. I think he's done a pretty good job, especially today.
All right, this one might be a little stacked. I may not have done this one as well, but we're going wide receiver and defensive lineman duos here.
A wide receiver D-line duo.
Would you rather have Jamison Crowder?
Okay, he's had a good week.
And Joey Mbu.
I like him, okay, so two guys I like.
Or Grady Jarrett. And Tyler Lockett.
I would go for the first one, for sure.
Yeah,
no question.
I realized that was weighted a little bit.
Jamison Crowder. I mean, Lockett's had
Jamison
a good week,
Crowder's
too.
So small. I know he's getting a lot of buzz this week.
You know, the player that he reminded me of, and I told you that when we were coming down here, I'm not saying that he is this guy, but just his playing style, the way that he looked at Duke, he reminded me of Brandon Cooks, who obviously went in the first round last year to New Orleans, and a player that Eagles fans were obsessed with and throughout the draft process. Crowder is a guy that, you know, has that same kind of skill set to a lower extent, but a very impressive guy. So I would go with those two. And Joey Mbu, I think, would be a great fit in a 3-4.
All right. Would you rather have Amir Abdullah in the second round?
All right.
Or Jeremy Langford in the fourth round?
Amir Abdullah in the second round. Amir Abdullah, especially in an offense like the Eagles where he could play in space, he would be deadly in that kind of an offense. I would be excited about that kind of pick.
Okay. Quarterback and cornerback, or quarterback
QB and corner
and DB.
Okay.
Would you rather have Blake Sims and Ladarius Gunter?
Blake Sims and Ladarius Gunter. Okay.
Or Brian Bennett and Eric Rowe?
Oh, man. This is one that I want people to weigh in on when you're listening. I want to hear what you would take. But Blake Sims and Ladarius Gunter. I'd go Blake Sims and Ladarius Gunter.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I like Rowe more than I like Gunter. I like, you know, I think Gunter has got, and he's, this week he's done a really good job in those drills where he can press at the line of scrimmage and get his hands on receivers. I think he's done a good job there. He gets a little grabby downfield. He's not necessarily the best player laterally, but as a press corner, you don't necessarily need to be, you don't necessarily need to have the loosest hips to be a press corner. So, I would take Gunter and Blake Sims. I think Sims is a better prospect than Brian Bennett.
I'm gonna disagree with you on this one because I don't think that either Sims or Bennett is gonna be your quarterback.
Well,
in the
yeah,
future.
I'm not going crazy there.
And I think that Eric Rowe is the best of the group, and so I'd rather have the best player. I'd rather have Eric Rowe.
He's the best
Rowe.
Of the four. I it's not a bad argument.
All right, last one. Would you rather have Tony Pauline's body and Chris McPherson's face? You have the same brain. You're the same person.
So it's me. It's Fran
it's
Duffy,
you.
But I'm in Tony
but
Pauline's body.
From now
body.
On, you live in Tony Pauline's body and Chris McPherson's face. Shout out
is,
to C-Mac.
Well, is it C-Mac's? Is it Tony's bald head? Or is it
it's his
C-Mac's
yeah, whole head? Whole head.
Okay, so it's C-Mac's
head. Not just
head.
The face, yeah.
So it's C-Mac's head.
So from the neck up, you look like C-Mac.
So I've got Tony's skin tone?
You got Tony's skin tone. Or would you rather have C-Mac's body and Tony's head?
I think that's an easy question. Look, Tony Pauline is a fit guy, you know, a former Olympian.
I know that's a good point, but here's the kicker.
Here's the rub, okay?
When you have his body, you have his fashion sense. You inherit his
you
entire
didn't throw
wardrobe.
This in. No, I've got my
I'm
brain.
Telling you, well, I'm explaining to you. Yeah, you've got your brain.
But
you
I,
get
so
to
I
think
choose.
For yourself,
yes.
But you have to wear the dad jeans, and you have to wear the polos. It's a tough question because great. Tony's, I mean, listen, as you said, former
he runs
borderline
he
Olympic level decathlete.
I can imagine him running all over New York.
But with the head, you also get the sweet mustache.
That's true. But with C-Mac, I get the potential to grow out the fro.
That's a really good point.
I'm going to go with the Tony body.
I mean, C-Mac's a handsome guy.
Yes, he is.
And but the difference is that C-Mac's got a much better fashion sense. C-Mac can dress.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I'm going to go with the C-Mac head though, and the Tony Pauline body, and I'll take the fashion sense and I'll try and make it work.
All right, I'd like to see someone Photoshop that up for us, please.
I'm sure you'll figure out a way to do it next week.
All right. Well, from there we turn it over to the readers. It's time for the draft mailbag.
Now it's time to hear from you, the fans, in the draft mailbag.
All right, Franny, time to get to the listener questions. And the first one comes to us from Seth Wood on Twitter, at SethHo19. He wants to know, how likely is it that the Eagles target a defensive back in the first round?
Well, how likely is it? I'm going to go...
How likely is it that they
select... 43%. That's a high percentage. Yeah, that's a high percentage.
That's way too high.
That's way too high. I'm going
to
go...
I mean, according to you, there's basically only two defensive backs who'd be worthy of the 20th overall pick. Fair?
I wouldn't go that far. Yeah, I still have to watch a lot of these juniors.
Okay, all right.
I still got to watch a lot of these juniors. But, I mean, Trey Waynes is absolutely
maybe Landon Collins. Those are the two buzz names so far.
Those are the buzz names right now. I'm going to go with 19%. From 47 to 19. You haggled me down.
I think that's probably closer to the truth.
I think so.
All right. J.R. Willis apparently has been listening to the show, even though it hasn't been posted yet. He says, could we see a situation where Chip would pair Danny Shelton with Fletcher Cox?
Well,
if you listen to the show, we would say no.
We would say no. For the reasons that we stated earlier, I would be surprised if that would happen.
All right. Let's go to the Fran Duffy responses on Twitter. We have here Starkeys. Where do you think Philip Dorsett goes in the draft, Fran? Philip Dorsett, the speedy wide receiver from Miami.
Who's been really, really good this week. He's caught everything. And not just, look, obviously he's got the wheels. He's got the quickness, the ability to get in and out of breaks. He's very, very good with that. He's got a lot of natural movement skills. But the ability to go up and get the ball and win in contested situations, he's done a really, really good job of doing that this week. And I think that's surprised some people. But I would say... If you were going to get a Philip Dorsett, you're probably talking, we'll see what Tony Pauline's response is when I say this, Philip Dorsett in, say, the fourth or fifth round?
Third or fourth.
There we go. All right. So that would be reached. The third or fourth round for Philip Dorsett.
All right. Next question comes to us from Anders Janssen, who wants to know, how have the safeties looked, Fran? And very interested in Drummond and Gathers. Curtis Drummond from Michigan State and Clayton Gathers from South Florida. How have they looked?
Yeah. I'm going to go. So you have Clayton Gathers, for those who don't understand what just came out of Bo Wolf's mouth. So that was Clayton Gathers and who? Who was it? Curtis Drummond.
Curtis Drummond from Michigan State. How have they looked?
Drummond, I think, you know, and it's kind of like what you saw from him at Michigan State. I think he's had some good moments and some not so good moments, but overall, I think he's still probably one of the best safeties here. Clayton Gathers, the big question with him coming into the week is how athletic is he? He's a really good tackler, plays well near the line of scrimmage, but you wonder how he can play on the back end. So I think those are the two things you've got with those guys, and I think those two questions have held up this week. So
is Clayton related to Clayton Gathers?
No, he's not. He's not one of the Georgia Gathers. No.
I know that Tommy Lawlor is a big fan of Clayton Gathers, but who would you rather have of the two?
Curtis Drummond, if I had to pick one of the two. Does that mean we're done with the Anders voice?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
All right, good. All right.
All right, next question comes to us from Dwight Simmons.
Dwight.
I am DSPN, who wants to know, outside linebackers, Malden, the outside linebacker from Louisville, Lorenzo Malden, has been interviewed. Do you think there's a real interest here? His strengths and weaknesses mirror Marcus Smith.
Well, here's the thing, and we get these questions all the time throughout the draft process every single year. Oh, well, so-and-so said that the Eagles met with this person, or so-and-so said that the Eagles met with that guy, and, they interviewed him at the combine. Look, every team talks to pretty much every single player at some point in the process. If they don't talk to him at the Senior Bowl, they'll have a visit with him. They'll go to his pro day. They'll visit with him at the combine. You know, every team is going to meet with every player at some point. It's, you know, so trying to guess who they're going to draft based on that is tough.
It's silly, not because it doesn't mean anything, but because sometimes it means something and sometimes it means nothing. I mean,
correct.
Like the scouts are, there's a difference in the things, because when you hear someone say that the Eagles are talking to this guy or talking to that guy, a lot of times it's lower level scouts cross checking information,
trying to get info,
getting personal information that they just have to have for the file. There's a difference between that and listen, when you've got these guys like notsports.com or whatever, or you know, draftbundy.com or whatever the stuff is, and they're just looking at guys with an Eagles jacket on and who they're talking to. First of all, there was a guy walking around yesterday with a camera with an Eagles jacket who doesn't work for the Eagles, so that was a weird thing. But they don't know what kind of level they are. It's a different thing if they're, you know, sitting down and talking to Chip Kelly for 20 minutes, and even that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Correct.
But, you know, a couple years ago, Brandon Graham never talked to the Eagles in the lead-up to the draft, and the Eagles ended up trading up for him. So sometimes it means something, sometimes it doesn't. And so it's silly, really, to talk about it. But here we are.
Here we are.
All right, last question.
I want to know more about the imposter. How come I didn't know about this?
Some kind of documentary. I had people asking me about him, but I've never seen him before in my life.
There you go.
Certainly know that he doesn't work for the Eagles.
No.
All right, last question. Comes to us from at Next Future Era, who asks the question, don't trade McCoy.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm gonna concur with that.
All right. Well, there you go.
There you go. Thanks.
All right. Well, that'll do it for the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA from Mobile, Alabama. For Tony Pauline of DraftInsider.net and Fran Duffy, I thank our guests for joining us, and we will see you one more time here from the Senior Bowl tomorrow on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Thank you very much, everybody.